So yeah, next year we're hoping about going again. So if you missed it this year, that's all right. You missed some good stuff, but we're looking at maybe going next year as well. And just want to encourage the men and the young men to come out, have a great time. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, definitely. A lot of good food, too. I mean, I even went to the beach for a few hours. I had a good time going down the boardwalk, got myself a nice. And it's hard to say. There's some things you can say, some foods you can say no to. But when I saw this food and being offered, I was like, why not? And it was a funnel cake. And I was like, you know, we're already past the season of funnel cakes around here. So I'm like, why not? Sure. It's overly priced, but why not? Why not get a funnel cake while I'm down here in Rehoboth? So, yeah, so I was down there and I had a good time. The beach was only about 30 minutes away from where we were, so it was nice. So, yeah, just want to encourage everyone, come out, have a good time for that. Maybe next year we'll see what the Lord does. But, yeah, but also this week we had some trying times as well. We had the privilege of knowing Mike Valick Sr. And unfortunately, he did pass this past week. And, you know, Karen's not here. Family came up. We had some the funeral yesterday. And just a beautiful display of how Mike Jr. and Marie, and I just want to compliment them on what they did, where they were able to sing and also share at their father's funeral, which is hard. It's very hard. I know myself, I was given the opportunity to preach at my father's funeral, and that was the hardest sermon I've ever done. And my sister sang at that funeral for my father. So I applaud Mike and Maria about that. They did such a great job. And it's hard because, you know, we'll miss Mike, you know? We'll miss him, won't we? He was a lot of fun to be around. You know, he'd clown around, because he was a clown. He'd clown around sometimes, have a good time with that. And we're going to miss our friend Mike. We really are. Karen's going to miss him as her husband. And it's just a hard thing. It's just a hard thing. But as Jesus says in his word, that we mourn with those that mourn, and we rejoice with those that rejoice. And so, even though it's a sad time for the Valick family and things and friends and family members and things like that, even though it's a sad time, we don't mourn like those who have no hope. We don't. Because we know Mike right now is experiencing an amazing thing right now. He is before his Maker. He is before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's no boundaries put on that man. There's no hindrances. There's no bodily ailments. He has a new body. He's a new creation right now. His spirit's up there with Jesus in heaven, meeting with the saints that have gone before us, as well as family members. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Now, of course, we'll miss Mike. But man, I am so happy that I will get to see him again, and that his race here on earth is done. And I just want to challenge everyone, you know, when things are going in our lives, how do you want to leave this place? How do you want to leave this place? What's your legacy going to be? What's your culture going to be? Because with Mike, you could say quite a few different things. Depends on how well you knew him. Depends on if you knew that he loved to play Santa Claus. Sometimes some people might know, hey, yeah, that was the guy that played Santa Claus. He liked it. Or maybe you remembered him as the president of the Little League he used to run many years ago. Or maybe you remember him as the clown. But I hope and I pray that we all remember Mike as loving Jesus. As loving Jesus and going after him. Which brings me into my message today. And I want to challenge you guys today, because I'm not here to... We're not here just to have a nice little Sunday get-together. I mean, I love getting together with everybody. There's no doubt about it. I love every one of you guys. It's a lot of fun. We talk about a lot of fun things. We have a good time. But we're here for him. And when we meet him, there's great things that happen inside of us. I want to see him pull out the gold inside of you, pull out the destiny, pull out the great things that God has deposited in you. And I want to see you come to fulfillment with it. Because when you come to fruition, when you come to fulfillment in it, you'll be fulfilled. And you won't have to be like, well, why am I here on earth for? What am I doing here? What's going on? You will find the fulfillment in Him. And there is nothing else that you will find fulfillment greater than what He has for you. That I can promise you. So my sermon today, I would call it, What's Your Culture? Is my sermon text. So what's your culture? Now, some of you might be like, well, Van, what do you mean by culture? Well, let me define it for you. It's the customs, art, social institutions, and achievements of a particular nation, people, or social group. Pretty much it's similar to society, a way of life, a lifestyle, or customs. That's what culture means. I know when I was down in New Orleans, when I was a younger kid, it's hard to remember sometimes those days, but when I was in my teenage years, I remember them well, but some days a little harder than others. I remember my mom wanting to take me to some plays and some nice things down in New Orleans. And then I was like, Mom, I don't want to go to those things. They sound boring. And, you know, as a typical teenager, they probably were to me. And then my mom would say, you have no culture. She would look down at me, you have no culture. And it was true. It was very true. I didn't understand. I didn't appreciate the things that I could encounter while I was down there. But culture, what's your culture? Well, let's look up some culture in the Bible. Some of the Old Testament. What was the culture of David? What was the culture of David? King David. He was a man after God's heart. That's what he's described in. Now, he didn't do everything perfect. He made some mistakes along the way. But he was considered a man after God's heart. Wouldn't that be nice? When they say, wow, I like that person. Or I like Frank. He's a man after God's own heart. How's that sound? That sounds good. Or what about another person? Jonah. Now, Jonah's a little different. How do we remember Jonah? Well, he's the one that ran from God. Or maybe he was the one that got swallowed by a fish and survived. Maybe that's how you remember him. He maybe didn't have the greatest thing, but he was still known because of his obedience. His obedience, his turning back. Even though he wasn't happy about certain situations, he still obeyed God and turned back. And God gave him a second chance of redemption. And that's amazing. Another one, Esther, Queen Esther, raised up for such a time as this. Ladies, you've got a destiny. You've got a purpose. Raised up queen, was able to save all the Israelites. What an awesome thing. Queen Esther. And then you have some other cultures. How about this one? Jezebel. Ooh, that's a whole other culture right there, isn't it? The woman that killed off a lot of the prophets of the Lord, that wanted Baal worship, that was overbearing and dominion. Man, how you like that culture? Ooh, no thanks, I'm good. No thanks. But we all have a culture. Now let's go into the New Testament. Let's see. So maybe we talk about Paul. Paul definitely had a culture, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, was a man after God's own heart, but also he was a man that strived after God, wanted to see the church do well. After, in his former part of his life, trying to kill Christians and kill the church of Jesus Christ. And we see Peter. Peter had a culture. I mean, sometimes we just shake our heads at Peter sometimes. It's like, man, Peter, he just got... I mean, any man that wants to rebuke Jesus, that's like a no-brainer to me. I'm like, why would you do that, Peter? Peter, what are you doing? What are you doing, Peter? But he got it right. He got it right. He learned how to love the Lord's sheep. He learned how to be a follower after him. John. John's another one. He was the one that loved. I mean, come on. And it's funny. I see John likes to call people out in the scripture text. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, some of the stories that go along with each other. See, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they'll say a certain disciple or a one type or this disciple did something. They won't name names, But John will come out and name it. He'll just say, this is who it was. This is what happened. So I appreciate John. Good stuff there. And then, of course, the ultimate man of culture, Jesus, who is also God. Man. And we can read about that. And then Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 11, he talks about imitate God or follow God as I imitate him and follow him. I was always, because that's what Paul's culture was. That was what you could see he was going after God, going after these things, and it was a wonderful thing. But I always wondered why that scripture was there, because I'm like, well, why don't you just follow God instead of just following Paul? That didn't make much sense to me why he would write that. But then the Lord said, I have wrote it because they didn't know. We have to remember that this book wasn't written until most of the disciples' lives were towards the end. They didn't write it in the beginning, right after Jesus' resurrection. They realized that, hey, we need to write down what happened because otherwise there's going to be a time where we have to pass it on to the next generation. And we don't want to forget these things. That's why Paul says, I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. Because he was like, I'm going after Christ. You may have never heard Christ. You've heard of all these different gods. You've heard of all these different things. But you're like, I've never heard about Christ. Paul was like, walk with me. Follow me as I'm following Christ. Let me give you an example. Let me give you a taste of what God is. And let us follow together after him. Because a lot of people never do. We live actually in a society now, which is kind of interesting, that 40 years ago, most people knew about the Bible. Most people knew about Jesus. Did you say that's pretty much true? A very Christianized country that we lived in. Now, 40 years later, a lot of people don't know anything about Jesus. And you're thinking about, well, how could that be? A lot of this newer generation's never stepped foot in church. They weren't taught by their parents about Jesus. They have no clue, no spectrum of who Jesus is or God. They know that there might be a God. They have not a clue. And guess what we're called to do? Imitate. Follow me as I follow Christ. We're called to be the example. We're called to show people that, hey, you might never met Jesus before. You never had an encounter with him. But watch my life and you'll see him shine through me. And let's go on together for him. Amen? I love what Pastor Jamie says about that. I'm gonna give a reference to him because he's the one who said this. And I love that when we live for him, we reproduce him. If you don't live for him, you can't reproduce him. Any more than an orange tree can reproduce apples. You know, you plant an apple tree, you're going to get what? Apples, yes. You plant an orange tree, what are you going to get? Lemons, exactly. Exactly just how that is. That's what it works out. No. You're going to get oranges. And you cannot give something that you're not. You can't reproduce Christ if you don't have Christ in you. Pastor Jamie said this. He said that, Englehart, he said this. He's like, I would prefer to not have the Ten Commandments brought back into church. I mean, brought back into school. And I'm thinking, what he's saying this, I'm like, why? Well, that was a great thing. He's like, the Ten Commandments were the law. I'd rather the two new covenant laws be brought into the schools, into the government, where it's love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and also love your neighbor as yourself. I want to see that. I want to be that to my fellow Christians as well as to a hurting, dying world. So are we reproducing who we are? That's the question. Are we reproducing who we are? What is our culture? What are we reproducing? If I want to be a good father to my kids, and I'm treating them bad all the time, guess what? I'm not being a good dad. I'm not doing it. Even though I want to be a good dad, I want to show them great things, I can't reproduce what I'm not. And I love that Jesus walks with us every way so we can help us reproduce what we're becoming, what we're being in Him. Amen? Now, another thought. What's our culture? Now, culture just doesn't extend just to you, though. Did you know culture extends to churches as well? Did you know that? When you walk into the church, sometimes you can gauge what that church's culture is. I've been in a few churches. I went down to Bob Muncy's church where we were down in Delaware. I'll tell you what, it was amazing the sense that I got in that place. I really loved it. It was a very safe place. And you could just feel safe when you walked in the building. I was like, wow, this is a real safe place. And you could feel it in the atmosphere. You could feel it in your spirit. I'm like, wow, this is a very safe place. I could share about things that maybe some struggles that I have or things that are going on, and I would feel safe there. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. I've been in some other churches, like the one down in New Orleans I used to go to. It was called Victory. There was a great sense of freedom, just freedom. You could dance, you could shout, you could sing. Whenever praise and worship would start, boom, people are just dancing everywhere. Just off the first song. I'm like, usually it takes a few songs to get warmed up or something, but man, they were just, let's go. Flags going everywhere. And it was about a 5,000-person church, so a lot of flags were flown. A lot of people were dancing. It was just a sense of freedom. It was wonderful. But my question is, what's the culture of this house? When somebody comes into this house, what's the culture here? What are we making forth culture here? What are people sensing when they come into this house? We have some new people that come in every once in a while. How do they feel? Do they feel like CLCC stands for, you know, Christian Life Community Church? That's what we are. Do some people feel like, well, CLCC should stand for Christian Legalisms of Church of Correction? Ooh, I hope not. I hope that's not what we stand for. Christians of Legalism, Church of Correction, CLCC. I pray that's never this place. I can tell you that. It's not going to be that while I'm here. I can tell you that right now. We're not going after that. Or should it be CLCC stands for Christians Loving Christ and Communities? Christians Loving Christ and Communities. Could that be what CLCC stands for? We know it's our name. But are we living, are we creating the culture for it? I know in this house, the culture I want to see, and I know that the leadership is on board with me, is that we want to let freedom and grace be the culture in this place. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Without His Spirit, there's no freedom. And without His Spirit, there's no grace. And boy, we need it. We need it. Because we need it in this time. So I'm challenging you guys today. Let's go after what the Lord has for us. Let's go after that culture that the Lord wants to do with us. Here's a really good quote. Are you ready for a really good quote? This is one of the good ones. You can tweet this later on. You can hashtag it if you want. You can put it on Snapchat. That's okay. I don't mind. Here's a really good one for you. Ready? If you get nothing else, I pray you get this. If you partner with the Lord in building your culture, He will partner with you in building His kingdom. Come on, somebody. If you partner with the Lord in building your culture, He will partner with you in building His kingdom. I want to build His kingdom. I want to partner with Him. Because when I partner with Him, that culture becomes mine. His culture becomes my culture. And boy, it's such a fulfilling way. So I want to give everyone a few moments here to respond to what we've been challenged with today. The Lord is giving us a challenge on what is your culture? What do you want it to be? What do you want it to look like? And maybe you're like, well, I've never really asked the Lord what my culture is. Maybe I've never really asked what people around me think of me. And I'm not saying you have to go by that. I'm just saying, you know, if I meet somebody, I know kind of who they are, in a sense. I know when I meet Pastor Kurt, he's a loving guy. I like Pastor Kurt. I do. He's a good guy. I enjoy our time. When someone walks up to you, do they feel drained after they talk to you? They're like, oh, man. Oh, that person just drains me. There are people out there like that? Or do people feel like, wow, I love that person. I love talking to that person because they're just so encouraging. They're so filling. Man, I really like that person. That person is a person after God's own heart. That person inspires me. That person brings joy to my face. What's our culture going to be? So what I want to do is I just want everyone to bow their heads for a moment. I want to give you a moment to respond and ask the Lord about what he wants your culture to be, what he wants to do on your side, on your part. And if you partner with him, that he's going to build your culture in an amazing way. So as we just have our heads bowed and eyes closed, this is a time between you and the Lord, just you and him. No one else needs to be looking around. No one else is doing anything. We're not doing anything weird here. I just want you to be able to connect with God without any other distractions. And I want you to ask him this question. I want you to ask him this question. Lord, what is my culture right now? I want you just to answer. I want you to ask him that. And he'll give you an answer. Maybe it's a scripture verse. Maybe it's a word. Maybe it's something else. But ask him right now. Lord, what is my culture? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, maybe he gave you a scripture verse. Maybe he gave you a picture. Maybe he gave you a word. And whatever he gave you right then and there, I want you to respond this way. And it has to be from your own heart. It has to be from your sincerity of your own heart. It's going to be the sincerity of my heart in this, but you have to believe it. You have to go after it yourself. My response to what he gave me was, Lord, I partner with you in that culture. I partner with you right now in that culture. Maybe I don't see it. Maybe I don't fully understand it. Maybe it's not quite who I am right now. But I believe you're going to make me into that. Bring me into that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're so awesome. Amen and amen. Well, church, folks, Christians, cultured people for the kingdom. You've got your assignment. You've got what God's doing in your hearts. And I want to encourage you. I'm here cheering you on. I am here cheering you on. I want to see God do some amazing things in you. And maybe it's standing in front of 5,000 people one day. Or maybe it's communicating to 100 million people on YouTube. Maybe it is. Or maybe it's just you're to connect with 3 or 4 people and that's going to be it. And there's nothing wrong with that either. But wherever your area of influence is, let your culture shine for him. Let your kingdom culture be of him. Because he's going to take you to great things. Amen. Amen. Amen.